Where is your happy place? The one place that you wish you could be when things are crazy, hectic, and stressful in your life. Is it somewhere on the beach with the waves crashing against the warm sand? Is it somewhere in the mountains where you're far away from society, enjoying the sounds of nature? Or is it simply just that 1 hour at home where you have no chores or responsibilities to take care of? And where is the one place you wish you could be to find peace? Well, as we look at our verses this morning, we see that the disciples were in need of some peace. I mean, they had recently witnessed an event that completely flipped their lives around in an instant. Just a few days earlier, the disciples had seen Jesus get arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, which they knew was going to lead to his death. Jesus is the one who had helped them through so many difficult situations. Jesus is the one that they believed to be the Son of God. But now they knew that he had been crucified and buried in a tomb. They thought Jesus was gone forever. The disciples had no hope. They had no comfort. The disciples in this moment, they had no peace. But as the disciples were trying to process everything that had just happened that past week, some men came to them with a message that sounded completely absurd. These men came to them claiming to have seen Jesus in the flesh. The disciples, of course, thought that these men were crazy. But as the disciples and these men were discussing these things, we hear that Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were terrified and frightened and thought that they were looking at a ghost. I mean, the disciples seeing Jesus standing before them, or at least seeing this figure that appeared to look like Jesus, led them to jump to conclusions. And the only rational explanation the disciples could come up with was that this figure was a ghost. And the reason they thought this, it was not only because this figure suddenly appeared into this room that was closed off with locked doors, but also because they knew that Jesus had been crucified and buried in a tomb. So it's no wonder the disciples were terrified in this situation. But Jesus, knowing the fear and the terror that was in his disciples' heart, is why he immediately came proclaiming a message of peace. He wanted to alleviate all of their fears, but more importantly, Jesus wanted the disciples to recognize that it truly was him. And this meant that he had fulfilled his work. He wanted the disciples to know that they had perfect peace, for their greatest problem of sin had been completely taken care of. And the evidence for this was standing right there in front of them. The disciples, who were blinded by fear, didn't take Jesus' words to heart. And so Jesus again tried to comfort his disciples. He now said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And as unbelievable as it may have been in that moment, the disciples could see the wounds that Jesus had endured on the cross, and because of this, there was a struggle going on in the hearts of the disciples. Because if this truly was Jesus, this would be a reason to rejoice. But the disciples just kept feeling as though they were somehow being deceived in this situation. So while they still did not believe because of their joy, and while they were still wondering, Jesus now said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. He took it and ate it in front of them. Now Jesus didn't eat this food because he was hungry. I mean, now that Jesus was in his glorified body, he no longer needed to eat food. But he only did so as to prove to his disciples and to give them even more evidence that it truly was him and that he had truly risen from the grave. But even upon seeing this, the disciples still failed to recognize what was so clearly right there in front of them. They failed to recognize that what they were seeing wasn't a reason to be fearful and terrified, but rather was reason to rejoice, to give thanks, and to be at peace. For Christ's resurrection meant that they had full and free forgiveness for all of their sins. How foolish of the disciples, right? The risen and resurrected Lord was standing right there in front of them, and they failed to recognize what Christ's resurrection meant for them and their lives. But as foolish as the disciples were in this situation, can't we too at times be foolish in our own lives and failing to recognize what Christ's resurrection means for us? Because if Christ's resurrection was to bring us true and perfect peace as Jesus claimed, we maybe feel as though we should see evidence for this in our lives. Maybe thinking that all of the problems that we face should just suddenly disappear. Yet as we look at our lives, we still see how sin affects everything. Thoughts, actions, motivations, relationships, sin still stains everything. So while Jesus may have come proclaiming peace, we can find ourselves wondering, where is this peace that Jesus was proclaiming? And if sin is still present in our lives, well, then maybe that can lead us to wonder, did Christ's resurrection actually do what it was supposed to? If not, this means that we have no comfort, that we have no hope. This means that we have no peace. And this would then mean that we have to look for the hope of our salvation somewhere else. And the problem with this is that anywhere else we look is only going to lead us to doubt our salvation. We can try to look at how well we live our lives. But as we do that, all we're going to see is how time and time again we fail to obey God's laws perfectly. We can try to look at the outward circumstances that we're currently living in. But what about when things get hard or difficult like they always do? No matter where we look, we're just going to be led to doubt our salvation. And just like the disciples, how foolish we can be to fail to realize that Christ's resurrection means something far greater than earthly peace. Because believing in Christ's resurrection doesn't mean that the problems we face in this life are suddenly going to disappear. No, believing in Christ's resurrection means that we have true and perfect peace. A peace in knowing that the burden of our sins has been fully and completely taken away. And with our greatest problem of sin completely taken care of. Well, this means that the peace Jesus came proclaiming to his disciples is the exact same peace that Jesus proclaims to you and to me. And as our verses continue, we see that Jesus wanted his disciples to understand this peace that he truly came to bring them. But first, he needed his disciples to truly understand that he had risen from the grave. And so to do that, he now pointed them to the one piece of evidence that had the power to make them believe. And Jesus now said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And Jesus reminded the disciples of what he had told them in the past, which was that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Because of this, the disciples should have known that everything that had taken place that last week was exactly as it needed to be and was exactly what would happen because God's word had prophesied all of these very events. But those events of the past week had overshadowed everything the disciples had come to know, trust, and believe in. And because of this, We then hear that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he then said to them, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." It was the Word, not seeing the physical evidence of Jesus' hands and feet, that brought the disciples to their senses. The Holy Spirit had already worked faith into their hearts. Jesus simply opened their minds to recall what they already believed in. And in doing so, the disciples were now able to clearly see who was right there in front of them, to see that this was their risen and resurrected Lord, the one they had come to know, trust, and believe in through the power of the Word. And with this, all of the terror and confusion that was in their hearts went away, and the disciples were now at peace, knowing that God had fulfilled exactly what he had promised to do. And now that the disciples finally understood and recognized that Jesus had risen from the grave and knew what this meant for them in their lives, well, Jesus now had important work for the disciples to go and do. Jesus told them, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And the same message which brought the disciples to faith is the very same message that Jesus was now sending the disciples to go and to proclaim into the world. And that message being one of repentance, to lead people to examine their hearts and lives so they can see just how stained with sin they are, so that they can see their deep need for the Savior. And the disciples who had seen the resurrected Lord in the flesh were really the perfect group to go and to begin this work. But before they started this work, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until God would clothe them with the very power that they needed to go and do this work, which is exactly what God did on the day of Pentecost. And we have the benefit of being able to see the result of what took place with the disciples' work. We have the benefit of being able to see how everywhere they went, the gospel message spread and how many people came to faith. But even though the disciples were faithful in carrying out this work, they never actually completed this task. In fact, the work of going and proclaiming the gospel message to all nations is something that still needs to be done today. And this is work that all Christians are called to do. But as we think about what this work means for us, well, there may be some worries or doubts that we can have when it comes to doing this work. And maybe as we think about doing this work, we doubt that people are actually going to come to faith. And after all, as we look at society and see how hostile and apathetic it continues to grow against God and his Word, well, maybe we feel as though, even though we maybe know people who aren't believers, friends, coworkers, whoever else it might be, we maybe feel as though sharing the gospel message with them is just going to damage our relationship with them. Or maybe another fear that we have when it comes to doing this work is we just doubt our ability to do so. After all, we know that proclaiming this message is the difference between eternal life. We know proclaiming this message is the difference between eternal life and eternal death. So the last thing we want to do is to proclaim this message in a way that confuses people, or to proclaim this message in a way that turns people off from ever wanting to hear this message ever again. And so maybe knowing what's at stake can just lead us to be paralyzed with fear when it comes to doing this work. But whenever these fears or others you might have are residing in your heart, remember the power God's Word truly has. I mean, it's the Word that had the power to bring sinners like you and me out of our unbelief and to faith. This happened not because there was something special about you or me. No, it was the Holy Spirit working through the Word. And if God's Word had the power to bring sinners like you and me to faith, it has the power to bring all those we proclaim it to faith as well. And as we go and do this work, well, we can also know that just as God strengthened and equipped the disciples to go and to proclaim His gospel message, He has done the exact same thing for you and for me. So all of us can truly go and proclaim the gospel message boldly and confidently, knowing that we truly are equipped to do this work. And for all those times that we have or will continue to neglect or refuse to do this work, well, it's then that we remind ourselves to go back to the very message we're called to proclaim. Because it's this message is where we find our peace. Because it's this message that reminds us that Jesus came to live the perfect life in our place and rose from the grave to assure us that all of our sins have been fully and freely forgiven. Where's your happy place? The one place you wish you could be when things are crazy, hectic, and stressful in your life. Well, wherever that might be, the truth is that none of those places can ever bring you true and perfect peace, because none of those places can take away the problems that we face because of sin that resides in our world and in our very own hearts. So let's always remember to go to the one place where true and perfect peace can be found. Let's always remember to go back to God's Word, the message that has the power to overcome unbelief, strengthen the faith that has been planted in our hearts, and assure us that all of our sins have been fully and freely forgiven through the work of Christ. Let's also remember to go and proclaim this message to others so that they too can know the amazing peace that this message provides. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.